Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Dr. Catherine May's Blog Talk Radio Program Channel Panel. Today is Wednesday, June 10th, 2015, and I love what Catherine titled tonight's program. Mother talks about our programming and how she will help us break free. I just love that. So tonight, Mother Source will talk with us about her many messages, and how she sees our progress toward ascension. And Archangel Michael will be with us because he's just so much fun. And Sananda will be here too to help us plan the next phase of our enlightenment training, what we will need to learn, and how we can best open our hearts and minds to free ourselves of the last shadows of programming from the years under the slavery system of the Anunnaki-trained cabal. And the Company of Heaven is here to help us achieve our goals. We'll have time for questions tonight from all of you callers to talk with Mother, Sananda, Michael, of course, Catherine, Christine, and our Jade, who is our youngest channel and teenage advisor. I just love that, Catherine. This is Meg,
Hi,
your
Meg.
Co-host, calling in from Georgia. And, of course, Catherine's and her team is from High Falls, New York. Hey, Catherine.
Hi. Well, there have been a few changes in the program, as usual, since I posted it. But generally,
well, okay, we'll let us know.
Talk about those things. Mother just said, when I said, you know, how should we arrange this tonight? Who's going to go first and what do you want to talk about? And she said, I just want you to talk. So I'm going to tell everybody about our latest adventure, how far we've come and what we understand about it so far. And we'll just wing it. Mother's here by my side. Sananda and Michael are here, and many of the other friends from higher places who are helping us. We also have our team, our Arcturian team leader, who's here to help us if we would like to speak with him. So I'll just start by we'll announce ourselves for the newcomers. I'm Catherine, and I'm the author of Who Needs Light, the book that Mother has been encouraging everyone to read. She's asked me to read the little mini message that she sent out late last night. that I finished late last night and sent out. It has an excerpt from the book. And this is Meg Davis, our co-host, and she's our health advisor and acupuncturist and Chinese medicine expert. And thank you for being here, Meg.
Yes.
We'd love to hear your sweet voice and your wrap-ups and your support here for all of us.
Of course.
So, where to start? I'll start with reading Mother's Message because it's relevant to what we're doing here. And then I'm just going to tell you where we've been and what's going on and why I played that song tonight. So here's Mother's mini message number 7, because this will be the topic tonight. So some people may not have read it yet, so it's important that they know what's in it. So she used a poem from the book, which some of you who have read the book will recognize. And these are Mother's words in her mini message number 7, The Trouble with Pleading Innocence. Today I will give you just a small taste of a subject we will be studying together in the near future. Well, that was last night, so today is the near future. It is a key to your freedom, a mystery door that was closed eons ago. I urge you to walk with me, venture forth into unknown territory, and risk losing everything you have ever found annoying, infuriating, hurtful, and irreconcilable about missed communications with others. I'm about to open a subject that has been supposedly settled ages ago, and I intend to make you question everything you thought you knew about human nature, forgiveness, and peaceful negotiations. I hope I have you interested. I will begin with a poem from Catherine's book, Who Needs Light. It illustrates a particular personality trait that is all too familiar. It's called passive aggressive. Oh my, did I spill that? How clumsy of me. Your new suit, your briefcase, all sopping with tea. I wish I were suave and well-ordered like you. I just stumble along and, oops, step on your shoe. You are competent, worldly, not fearful like I am. You're brave and secure. You go forth like a lion. While I'm so distracted, my mind's left ajar. Oh, yes, did I tell you I totaled your car? Oh, I'm so hopeless, you'll hate me, you see. I locked out the children and misplaced the key. But the neighbor was lovely. The police were so gracious. Now, where is my wallet? I guess I've misplaced it. I'll just have to borrow a wee bit of money. I'm so glad I could help when you needed me, honey. It is funny, except when you're brought back to incidents in your own life that left you frustrated, angry, and stonewalled by a clever acting job that was intended to convince you that this person is truly helpless, mentally unhinged, and completely unaware of his or her actions and the frustration they cause others. Here is the truth. She or he has perfected the insanity plea. I don't know what I was doing. I didn't intend to do it. She will probably apologize, but her apologies will sound inane and shallow. And yet she's often described by those who knew her, who know her, as having a big heart. They probably remind each other that in spite of her many so-called accidents, or mistakes, she deserves to be forgiven and tolerated because, quote, she means well. Nonsense. The manipulator is clever, calculating, and conniving, a master of human vulnerability and dark programming. she blindsides people all the time because of the program that's running in them behind the scenes. One so pervasive that it is invisible in plain sight. There is a simple idea without which this whole program would crash and burn. It is this. The belief that people are so stupid, so out of control, so lacking in introspection or empathy for others, that they really don't know what they're doing much of the time. The scaffolding that holds up this concept rests upon a second equally absurd idea, that anyone who professes innocence by reason of unconsciousness is making a noble gesture and deserves to be forgiven, especially if they apologize. To refuse forgiveness would be uncharitable and unfair. I say nonsense again. Now, I challenge you to identify the big lies in this program and explain why they've served to destroy trust, undermine goodwill, and make a mockery of integrity. They reward dishonesty, disguise malevolence as kindness, and deprive the victim of any hope for real justice. Are you ready? Here they are. 1. Human beings are afflicted with a deep and unfathomable, quote, unconscious, which controls their actions against their own true feelings and beliefs. They can't help it. 2. It is an honorable and praiseworthy effort when a person apologizes for their hurtful actions, even if they were, quote, unconsciously motivated. Now, I invite you to examine your own life, your accidents, and those inflicted upon you, and prepare a small analysis or essay with brief examples, which you're invited to share with us on Catherine's radio show tomorrow night, Wednesday at 8 p.m. Eastern. Show us how this single booby trap completely precludes mastery, and why using it in your own defense will prevent your ascension, drive your loved ones crazy, and create a wedge that will destroy the love between you. Together, we will dismantle one of the most insidious programs the Anunnaki ever created and imposed upon humankind. Join us in the Temple of Light, where we will begin to untangle and deconstruct this insult to the creativity and consciousness of humankind. I am your mother, looking forward to our ascension work together. So I read that now for those who hadn't already read it, because the challenge is for you to put together your thoughts and come up with a description that will, or a story about your own life, that will illustrate how this program has been running, how it interferes with your life, how it has changed things for you. Now, this is going to be a very wide-ranging call. This is Catherine. So Mother told me to just talk about where we've been and what we're doing. And when I do, you'll see how it relates to this topic. A few weeks ago, we were contacted by someone who we thought was an old friend. We invited him to come to the Temple of Light. And as it unfolded, is a story that will illustrate and cause great questions for everyone to ponder, including the person I refer to, who I will call Mark. Mark presents himself as a lovely, friendly, nice guy. He was sent to us for a purpose. The company of heaven were aware of his background, his inclinations, his history. And they were here with us the whole time, guiding us, helping us. And I'll give you a brief highlight of what transpired here. Mark was asked to leave eventually because it became clear that he was not only not helping in ways that we truly needed, but that he had an insidious way of interfering and causing destruction just when we needed help the most. I'll describe what help we needed in a few minutes. When we asked him to leave, he was very angry. And for days afterwards, we felt the energy of hatred and violence directed toward us. We had learned along the way that he is the incarnation of Metatron. And if you remember the stories we've been telling through Mother about the fallen archangels, Metatron was one of them. He had great power as an archangel and still had great energy and determination as a dark leader. And so we were sent the incarnation who had been trained to be an assassin. He had lived thousands of lifetimes in this role of being the henchman for the dark, the cabal. Now, there is a backstory here because, and the reason I played that song tonight, because when I met Mark, I recognized him immediately, and he recognized me. We felt genuine warmth and an immediate connection that felt like we'd known each other forever. Well, I've recently understood why that was. Mark was, in a former life, was my bodyguard. It was a very dark time and difficult, and he was trained to be completely loyal, completely protective. And he fulfilled his role, except for one thing. I was kind to him. And in living close with each other, he came to truly love me. That was not the intention when he was sent to protect me. He was supposed to behave like a robot. But you can't program a human being to be a loyal robot without tapping into a place that's very close to love. And so there was a mistake made on the part of the cabal. They didn't expect that in his almost rabid protection and loyalty to me, there would also be a feeling of love. And so in this life, when we saw each other, we remembered that connection of genuine affection and appreciation. It stirred something in him. And although he was sent here to do away with us. He was not able to do it. It did leave him completely tied up in knots. And the work we did in the Temple of Light made it worse because he began to see that he'd been programmed. He began to understand a little bit about why he was really here, why in his own heart he wanted to come to the light. He hasn't really succeeded yet, but he will. Because when a crack appears in our program, it's very hard to shut it down. When love starts to seep through and starts to touch your heart, it's very hard to go back to being inhuman, to being unloving, to playing the role that you were trained to play. No matter how good you were at it, no matter how successfully you've played that role for thousands of years even, once love enters your heart, it's very hard to turn back. So, we knew we were safe. Mother and Father always protect us. And there are things that we do in this life that may seem dangerous or risky, but we know that we're always protected. We know that our friends in high places, as we call them, will always warn us, will take care of us, will see to it that we're not harmed. While we carry out the programs, the contracts that we agreed to carry through before we came here. So this is why I played that song by Whitney Houston from the movie called The Bodyguard. It was very appropriate. And I send my love and my hope that the one we've called Mark will come through. We'll see that he was a victim of programming. And that there is no one in this house, in the Temple of Light, who warrants hatred or even dislike or resentment. We wanted to help him. And in doing that, we exposed his program. Because that's what we do. That's part of our job. So now, I'm going to tell you a little more about the programs that we're involved in revealing, exposing, working through. It's not such a pretty picture, so take a deep breath, and I'll describe to you the latest adventure and what we are challenged to take on and why. Many of you read on the internet about the nanoparticles and the poisons that have been raining from the skies, the things that the cabal have put into our food, our water, our air, our snow, that are designed to poison us, to take us down. Some of those things are a kind of technological parasites. They're designed to enter our bodies, and when they are exposed to a certain frequency, which the cabal has developed, they go into action. They spring to life, you might call it, and do their dirty work. They take the form of parasites that enter our bodies. Well, this is our latest challenge. Our dear Christine, who was still in the process of recovering from having been hit by a scalar weapon, had previously agreed to this contract to carry these parasites, to understand thoroughly what they are, to find treatment that will help others to get rid of them, but also to really understand what they are, what their energy is, what their consciousness is about. Because this work we do is not just to eliminate dark consciousness, it's to understand it and to try the best we can to bring all to the light. So this project was long ago agreed to. Turns out I agreed the same. The case of parasites that I have has entered my heart and my brain. For Christine, it's her whole body. She's in tremendous pain with this on top of the scalar attack, which of course was not planned, was not part of her contract. We have a medical team the size of the universe here helping us, but part of the agreement is that we will carry these beings, these entities, these consciousness, in order to understand them and in order to help others to understand and to heal ourselves. As it turns out, they are an epidemic among human beings, very much hidden, very much disguised. There is a kind of disdain or ignorance, actually, in the Western world about what these creatures really are. It's believed that they only occur to someone who is unclean, and therefore it would be someone in a third world country, something like that. Well, it's not true. They enter our bodies through the air, the water, the snow, the soil that our vegetables grow in, the animals we touch, eat. They're everywhere. And so here we are, carrying these critters and learning a great deal about the kind of damage they can do, about the pain they can cause. Mainly, the symptom that's most troublesome is the exhaustion. We are both completely exhausted, to the point where we laugh and end up in tears many times during the day because we're tired. But we understand. We are in touch constantly with mother and father and with our medical teams. We are being protected. Mother has promised us there will be no permanent damage. We will heal, and in the process, we will help others to learn what this is, to understand just another piece of what has really gone on, what has really been done to humankind behind the scenes in secret. And so many people have been taught to say, oh no, they couldn't do that. They wouldn't do that. That's not even possible. Well, I tell you, dear ones, it is not only possible, we are living it. The treatment for these things is very complex because it seems that we are infected with a combination of these technologically engineered and naturally occurring small, medium, and large worms, parasites, tiny beings that may or may not have been created once with true life, but even the ones that have become the dangerous parasites were not originally created that way. They were creatures that lived in the earth, in the soil. They processed the soil like our earthworms do. They were not created to be parasitic, to suck our blood or drain our energy. That, too, was part of the programming. Mother's messages have talked to you about the animals and how it is not primal. It's not part of their original instinctive makeup that they eat each other. All of this, all of it, has been evolving and developing or being technologically created by the dark ones. Originally taught by the Anunnaki who came here to create a slave planet. And in this lovely life that we are living now, so many of us prosperous by global standards, we are truly the slaves in so many ways that we never understood. And this job was given to us because Mother and Father knew we would tell you about it. They knew you would learn from it. They knew we would learn from it and would find a way to heal. A great part of healing is to understand deeply, to be able to grasp that even when you're being attacked, it is just part of a program. And when you understand the program, it's easier to find the solution. It's easier to envision that there is a solution. I'll give you an example. My little dog was not feeling well when I was in Canada. I took him to the local vet, and as I walked into the vet's office, I saw a big sign pasted to the front of the desk that gave a description of what a tick is, what the diseases are that ticks carry, and so on. And I was very surprised because I didn't realize that the tick problem had little by little crept so far north. It was all the way into Canada over the period of years. the diseases that ticks carry, which were engineered in a laboratory, have spread across the country and northward. So I noticed the poster and thought, drove home, and as I came down the driveway in the woods to my little place, I noticed there are plants growing along the road, along the driveway, that I hadn't seen there before. I stopped the car and got out and looked at them. It was a big, sort of a bunch of Japanese knotweed that had not been there the year before. Well, it turns out, Japanese knotweed is the cure for Lyme disease. So as the disease had marched northward, so has the Japanese knotweed. That's not an accident. Everything that happens to us here, every disease has its cure in nature. We've just been convinced that we have to go cook something up in a laboratory to kill the diseases that occur around us. But the miracle in this is even the engineered diseases have their cure in nature. And so we are on a treatment plan that was developed by Dr. Hulda Clark, a brilliant scientist who knew that what we need is all around us. And she developed a series of treatments that are difficult, a little complex. They take some concentration and some effort to carry it out, to get the timing exactly right. But they're powerful treatments. And so we'll be on this treatment for some time. I can tell you a little bit about what it's like. First of all, you have to get over the reaction of revulsion and horror and thinking you're being inhabited by these creatures that are, by most standards, considered rather repulsive. Well, that wasn't so hard for us because we knew it was a contract that we had agreed to. We didn't know that we'd be doing this very shortly upon the heels of having been hit by a scalar weapon. That wasn't part of the deal. So we were already weakened, and that's what made it easy for this problem to develop very quickly. And so we're working with the one who calls himself team leader. He is Christine's medical supervisor. He's a lovely, charming, and very funny Arcturian who has become an expert. As you know, those of you who have listened to the healing shows that I did with Sananda, we went to the Arcturian ship. And when I introduced them, I mentioned that they have studied humans. All our bodies, our etheric and our physical bodies. But they did it not just out of curiosity, not just to be of service to us, but as we're discovering, to really be close to us, to get to know us, and to be of service in the way that they are so, they're so kind, they're so highly evolved. They think of themselves as a group, They work as a group, as a team, but they are truly unique individuals as well. So, team leader, once he'd gotten to know Christine a bit, came one day and presented himself to her in his brand new spiffy jacket, which is decorated with studs and sparkles and such. He did it to be amusing and to be to show us that he likes to have fun and put on a good show. It makes it all easier for everyone. And so, to amuse us, he appears in his beautiful jacket, blue and white jacket. And so we've become very fond and very close to this beautiful team of Arcturians who is helping us. I have a team as well, because our conditions are slightly different. Many things are similar about it. We joke. We joke about how difficult it is to live life and to get anything done when we're each operating on one or two brain cells. So between us, we can remember where the pen is, where the phone was left, what time it is, and what it was we were supposed to be doing today. Jade is here. She's laughing because our dear Jade has picked up the slack for us in ways that I cannot even describe. She remembers our schedule. She keeps track of us. And she laughs with us, too. So, we're still laughing. We're still in love with mother and father, with each other, with this crazy situation. I wish Christine weren't in so much pain. It's very difficult to see. She's very brave. She didn't contract for this level of pain. After a while, it gets so that you can hardly think. You can hardly remember what it is you're supposed to be doing and how you're supposed to go about it. But she hasn't for a moment lost her sense of faith and dedication and good cheer. We know this will end successfully. All our projects have always had some kind of wrap-up that was astonishing and thrilling and successful. It's just that we haven't often been quite so up close and personal with the issues we're taking on. But this was part of why we agreed to it, because it covers, I'm going to try and wrap this up a little bit. Mother's guiding me as I'm talking. It's the expression, the symbol of the darkness that we have all experienced. It is the lowest level in the sense of intelligence, I guess you could say, of this program that has infected and affected every being on Earth. And yes, these little critters do have consciousness. We're becoming very aware of that. How they respond. Because, of course, their lives have been the basest example of darkness, of a consciousness that is completely under attack, because of course the places they choose to be to infest are always trying to get rid of them. Whether it's an animal or a human being, our immune systems are fighting them. Our treatment choices are fighting them. And they are programmed to fight back and to feel that their survival depends on it, which of course it has. So they are the expression of the smallest form, you might say, of the ones that we deal with in everyday life. But it is the same. It's the same mentality as the cabal. They're trained to be ferocious. They're created to be ferocious, relentless, and to have this drive to hang on, to suck the blood out of the host that keeps them alive. They're also trained to continue that at all costs, even if it kills the host. It's a completely insane idea. There is no creation. No real creation that comes from mother and father that would live that way at the cost of everything and everyone around them. These are ideas and beings that were created by the dark ones. This makes them, well, this is probably why we see them as so repulsive, because they're an abomination. They're a distorted life form. Some of them started out as real creatures living in the soil. But over time, they've taken on this consciousness, this predatory, dark consciousness where they will kill. And they think that it will help them to survive. There is no difference between these little creatures and the ones who were trained by the cabal to be assassins. It is the same mindset. They can be programmed to destroy, to murder. And then, when they break through the program for a moment and realize that the person they're supposed to kill is someone real, someone who has been kind to them, sometimes, it opens a door. It's what's happening with all of us. We're all learning that these impulses in us are not real. They're not inherent in our nature. We were not born to be aggressive and hateful and competitive. We were not created to push and shove and kill one another, to try to grab the last resource, to try to hoard, or even if we need it, grab the last morsel. There is abundance all around us. We've been taught to feel lack to feel fear, to believe that there isn't enough for all of us, that we have to fight each other, that we have to be selfish. None of that is how we were made. This is a program. And what we've learned this week is that partly those programs are literally technologically initiated. These nanoparticles that we've heard about that rain from the sky respond to a frequency. Once you've taken it into your body in any of a thousand ways, in the food, in the water, in the soil, from each other, from our pets, from the air even. Once you've taken it into your body, the cabal can put out a frequency. We've heard it. It's higher than anything you normally hear. It's like a high-pitched whine. It activates these objects, and they grow. And so this is how we've all been programmed. This is how we've all been under attack. Every single one of us has been under attack by these things that are hiding in plain sight, by the ideas we were taught and programmed to believe in, by the media that promotes it, carries it forward all the time, every day. So these ideas that there should be religions that are in competition with one another, that there should be races of people who hate each other and think that one is better and one is less just because we look different or just because we have some programmed belief system, even that was all part of the plan. Brainwash people into some kind of religion and then go to their next door neighbors and brainwash them into some other kind of religion and then pit them against one another. Even the parasites are vying against one another. So we feel a war inside ourselves. We've learned this by experiencing it. Mother and Father explain to us always, when you experience something, truly experience it yourself, you understand it in a very different way. So we've learned a lot. We've learned a lot about the human condition, about what these dark ones, the legacy that these dark ones have inflicted upon us. And now, the story ends well. We know that we are succeeding. And we were only asked to do this project as a final wrap-up to help everyone see that whatever form of darkness they manage to inflict upon us, we will simply move out of it. We will not stop smiling, we will not stop laughing, and we will not stop loving, not for an instant. We don't feel in any way that we're victims. Ironically, it's an honor to do this. Because Mother and Father trusted us to carry this all the way through. And in the process, we are all going to learn because we're going to share it all with you. Well, maybe not some of the most gruesome details, but we will certainly share with you everything we've learned. And it's a lot. It's been a lot the last few weeks. We are truly exhausted. But it's ironic. When you get to the point where you're at the end of your energy, something happens that allows you to open a little more. It allows us to truly ask for help, to reach out to our family and our dear friends who come forward and send us love and bring us tangible help, and to open even more so to Mother and Father. Sananda's here with me all the time. Mother, brief sojourns when he has to go to be in treatment too, because many of us were injured in the higher dimensions as well. Everyone is in treatment. In fact, all of us, all of you, everyone listening to this message is in one way or another in treatment, being healed, being taught how to leave all this behind. Every bit of it. And in the process, we're being taught to look under every rock, to examine every feeling, every thought, and every single action, first in ourselves and then in those around us. And the messages Mother is bringing forth, every day they get a little more challenging. Every day they go a little deeper. And we're all being asked to search to the deepest part of ourselves to find the inevitable programming. Not just to look and see if you've been programmed, but to simply accept every single one of us has been programmed. Every single one of us must search out, examine, prod, look at it, walk around it, identify it, name it, and then set it aside. So that you never have to find yourself saying to yourself or to anybody else, "I didn't mean it." Mother has encouraged us. Now it's time to drop that completely and acknowledge whatever it is, I meant it. Whatever happened, it was not completely a mistake. Somewhere in us, there was an intention to do damage. Now, the next step is not to feel guilty, to beat yourself up, to go into a state of humiliation and shame. It's to say, oh my, there's still a bit of program operating. I have to search it out. I have to find it, track it down, see where it came from. Where did I learn it? What purpose was it to play? How was I to welcome it and feel it belongs to me? I'm entitled. It's all right. Everybody acts this way. Everybody makes mistakes. Well, no, they don't. It is possible to live a life of consciousness where every action is purposeful. Now, the only difference between that and the poem, the passive-aggressive one who was pretending to be bumbling and unconscious, the only difference between that kind of bumbling and pure consciousness is just acknowledging it. That's all. She knew what she was doing. Everything was calculated. Everything was designed for maximum effect. So, when you look back on your life, you see the things you've done that were hurtful. Look at them. Acknowledge it. Sometimes you get a chance to go back and say you're sorry. That can be a wonderful healing time. But mostly we have to say to ourselves, I'm sorry. I'm sorry that I thought so little of myself. I'm sorry that I believed the program, that I don't know what I'm doing, or that my intentions and my actions don't match. I had an exercise when I was learning this from my dear friend Amos. Along the way where I was beginning to see how to do this, how to set it aside and not take it personally, see it as just something I'd learned. I went through a phase where I saw myself doing things that I truly said I didn't like. So instead of wallowing in it or crying or regretting or any of those things, I just said, I did it and I'm glad. And then I would do an exercise with myself. I'd say, it made me feel superior. It made me feel entitled. It made me think I'm better than somebody else. Or it helped me to build my so-called self-esteem. Well, that's really just ego. Well, it only took once or twice of doing that. I really learned to say, oh, there it is. It's just the program. We'll put it in the museum. No problem. Don't ever have to do that one again. So there is a way out. There's a fairly simple way out for all of us, but it takes truly acknowledging there is no such thing as unconscious. We are in command of ourselves. We are the captain of our ship. We can overcome this. And we don't do it by struggling and gnashing our teeth and feeling guilty. We do it by walking into the light, aligning with truth, whatever that is. Even if it means I have to say, yep, I did that. Now I see it. So, the deepest truth that we've come up against is to look at these things in ourselves, in our culture, all across our globe, and say, I came here to take part in this. I help to create it. We all came here to experience this. And so we all had a part in it. This is not some mysterious thing that's been foisted upon us. We chose it. And now we're beginning to learn how many layers, how many levels of choosing there are. How did we create this? When we participate in it and we pretend we don't know what it is, or we pretend someone else created it and inflicted it upon us, we take the stance of a victim. That's joining in the darkness. Because all of these programs of darkness have a victim and a perpetrator. And sometimes we play one and sometimes we play the other. But it's all part of the program. When we can step back and see it for what it truly is, we can be free of it. But we have to do it together. We have to each play our part. Not just play our part in the matrix. Play our part as one role or the other. The time for that is done. We've been told all contracts are off unless you have a special agreement, which Christine and I apparently did. Unless you have an agreement to carry through a special project, which you will do with full consciousness, then all contracts are off. There's no more karma. We're free to make our choices, to come into the light, to dismantle this illusion that we've all created together. Now I'm going to call in Mother and Father and Sananda and Michael and whoever else would like to come. I'll turn this over to Meg for a moment. And I'm going to let Mother come first and tell us what she wants to tell us about tonight. And then we'll let people call in and give us their stories, their observations, their critique of this latest project. So that's my update from our little corner of the Temple of Light here, upstate New York. We will keep you informed of the progress of this project that we're involved in now. We'll keep the messages coming. We may have to take a few days off here and there for our treatment, but as long as we can, we'll keep the messages coming. We're getting lots of help. So I'm going to turn this over to Meg for a moment, get a drink of water.
Yes.
And
hi, Catherine.
Take a breath.
Oh, thank you so much for sharing that very personal but also very relevant for all of us information. Thank you so much. Both
thanks,
of you,
Meg.
The whole family. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, we'll see what Mother wants to talk about, but I need a little break for a second. I'll be right back.
mature, of course. Yeah.
I want to add that as soon as we told Meg about this problem, she went to work to find us the best treatments, the best solutions, and even offered to join us to do the treatments with us. Now there's a friend who's willing to walk through it with you in every sense of the word. So thank you, Meg.
Yes. Well, I can just see this whole healing treatment program being rolled out globally anyway. So we might as well get ready.
Yep. I think that's the point, isn't it?
Yes. Yeah. Let's just be open to all of it. Well, thank you for your work. It was very moving to hear. Very moving for me, and I'm sure I don't speak for just myself, to hear when you talk about understanding the consciousness and understanding how it plays a part in each of our lives, and to move, what was that sentence you said, move out of revulsion and horror. That's really important to hear. Just wanted to highlight that again, because I think when we hear or see something and we move into that state, we shut down our capacity to understand and to connect with Mother and Father and what we're seeing. So it's very helpful for me. Of course, in the health industry, I've had to do that a lot, but it was really helpful on another level. So thank you. And the compassion you have for each other and these beings, it was incredible to hear their origin and what happened to them as a microcosm of what we all experienced on both sides. This is really another understanding in a deep way. I think you just put it into our hearts and minds in a way that helped us see it and understand it and help us use it in our own lives to transform any pushing away of something that we need to look at, any revulsion or horror. Just it is, and look at it. So thank you. I really was taken to another level of understanding about this, and I appreciate that level of honesty and clarity from both of you.
Well, Meg, as usual, you really captured the essence of what it was that Mother wanted us to understand. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, let's call in Mother and see what she wants to say.
Okay, wonderful. Let's give you a second to connect with our beloved Mother, and welcome to our show, Mother. How are you tonight?
Oh, thank you, dear Meg. Well, I am just in a state of wonder. I watch all of you, Father and I, with adoration and gratitude and such affection. We tell you how much we love you, but we want to come closer. We want you to feel our love. We want to just shower you with our love. We know that it's hard for you. We know that what you're doing is heroic. And we see how tired you are. We heard it today when we listened to our dear Tony. Tony's exhausted. Catherine and Christine are exhausted. Our beloved light workers all across the globe are feeling this profound exhaustion. It has been a long road. Many of you are allowing that feeling now. You've been tired for a long time, but you're acknowledging it now. And there's something added to it as well. We are bringing forth the energies across the globe that are raising you, that are changing your DNA. They're flooding your bodies, your minds, your hearts, and lifting you up. But in the process, it's hard work for your bodies. It's not something that's being done to you. It's something that you are taking part in. And just as you heal from an injury or an illness, you must give your body permission to boost your immune system. And when you do, what that really means is that you open yourselves to more light. And as you open yourselves, your bodies, your minds, you'll feel yourself being lifted. Sometimes you might feel a pain here and there. You might feel a little dizzy. You might feel a little headache. You might feel a little disoriented. That's because everything within you is changing. And it's not only within you, it's all around you as well. Yes, the earth is shifting beneath your feet. Enjoy it. Revel in it. Because this is your doing. It is part of the plan. You never intended to come here and suffer endlessly. That was not ever the intention. It went on and on, way beyond what you intended. But you are literally walking yourselves out of it. We have joined with you in every way possible. There was a while back a dispensation that Father and I helped to put in place. We called it We've Got Your Back program. As you move forward, we hold Mother Earth is also holding the higher vibration. With every step as you raise yourselves up, we will hold the vibration. You won't slip back. You're not slipping back. This is why you're feeling things moving so quickly. It's as if time has shifted into another dimension, isn't it? It's true. Time is moving faster. Things are changing quickly. As arduous as this seems, and as tired as you are, it's because you have accomplished something wonderful. You are about to experience the fruition of those efforts. Where you are on the ground, you can't see. You know how when you look across the globe, you see when you're on the ocean, for instance, on a clear day, a ship will appear in the horizon as if it's coming up over the curve of the earth. It's like that. You can't see what's happening in the house down the street, in the city, around the corner. You can't know that there are light workers, there are pods, we might call it, groups who are working together all across the globe. And individually, you're creating successful projects. You're raising the level of consciousness around you. There's so many of you who've said, I feel so alone. There's no one here who understands what I'm doing or what I feel. Well, it may be true, but just around the corner, there's someone else who's feeling the same way and who's raising their light, who's creating a beacon. You're getting better at seeing that in each other. You can walk down the street now. And when you encounter a person, when you encounter a person who is emanating light, you're beginning to be able to identify it. Of course, everyone has some light in them. And that is increasing. So even the ones who were most reticent, most stuck in their old programming, are beginning to feel the restlessness, the discomfort of remaining the same, doing the same old things. Everyone is awakening. Some a little quicker than others, but all of you are awakening. Your light is blazing forth. We told you recently that the grid is no longer just lines of light. Your entire planet is surrounded with our love. And it showers down on you, every single one of you. Let us help you. Let us embrace you. Open your hearts, just as we talked about in the mini message. Open your spigot and let us pour our love down upon you. Let it nourish you. Let it carry you through this last step. Together, raise your vibrations. And with each step, you come closer and closer to us. Closer and closer to this glorious celebration, where all of it will become visible. All of it will become apparent to you, and you are going to be stunned when you discover how many of you there are, how many of you have been working quietly behind the scenes without knowing each other. It is a testimony, isn't it, to the real strength of our beloved humankind. With only your connection to yourself and to us, you carry on. And then you begin to find one another, and your strength grows. And with every person you join hands with, your strength increases. With every gesture of kindness, every vote of confidence, every acknowledgement of the way you share, how your unity touches one another, every time you acknowledge that, you become more powerful. We love you. We admire you. We honor you for this wonderful work you've done. Carry on, beloved ones. We are here beside you. We have medals for all of you who have worked so hard. And we can't wait for the celebration, the ceremony where we get to demonstrate to the world who you are and how wonderful you are. Oh, there will be what will seem an endless celebration, because it will be endless. This project you've carried through will make you famous, you know. You're famous in the universe for your determination, your creativity, and you will soon be recognized for it in a way that you will be aware of. You're not aware now that you already have been recognized by the entire multiverse, and you're being celebrated across the multiverse. It's only you who haven't been aware of it. Soon, beloved ones, even you will know what all the rest of us know, and that is that you are triumphant. I will be here with you every moment. Call on me. And Father, we love to talk with you. And so many of you are listening carefully and beginning to be able to hear us. It's just thrilling to us. Sananda and Michael are here, smiling, embracing all of you. They'll be here to answer your questions if you like. But I'd like to turn this back to our dear Meg and let her arrange the questions and call on us if you'd like for us to talk with you more. We'll be here, as we always are, on these radio shows. And next week, we'll bring even greater surprises. So for now, I return the talking stick to you, dear Meg.
Yes, I am your mother. I am here.
Yes, dear. And now I will bring Catherine back to speak with all of you, so you can talk with your callers.
Thank you, Mother.
Namaste.
Namaste, Mother. Oh, could a voice get any more loving and sweeter? I think not.
Oh, it feels so good when I channel her.
In the celebration and badges of honor. Oh, I could see it.
She was showing me
5 billion badges. Sorry.
A billion. She was showing me planet Earth surrounded by the golden light. And then outward across the universe, there's this huge party going on. Like, and they're all facing us. And they're all like raising their whatever it is, their wand, their banner, their glass, they're all toasting to us and waving to us and celebrating and beaming on us. And here we are going about our, you know, we've got our noses to the grindstone looking at the ground, and they're all like waving, dancing. We're the last ones to know that we're the life of the party.
Oh,
that is to hear, though, tell us a thousand times, Mother, because sometimes it's, oh, my gosh, we get so just worked down and just plunging through all these wonderful assignments and jailbreaking messages she's giving us, and we're just, I'm on it, and we forget to look up and toast her with nectar, too, so thank you.
Jailbreaking messages, right. I love that. Oh, wow. Okay, well, we promised to take some calls, so let's start with the ones that have been here the longest and see if people did their homework. And if they've written their essay or they have their comment about their own lives and what they've learned. So,
well, Catherine, I have, oh, go ahead. Before we take a call,
yes,
I'll just,
what were you going to say?
My quick entry. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So after the message, I was walking the dogs this morning right after the message. So it gives me a good hour to think and play in nature.
Mm-hmm.
And I realized that the biggest thing that jumped out for me that has already done so much healing, but I'll still focus on when I look back and continue, is forgetfulness. And I noticed how there's a passive aggressive nature to forgetfulness. And I really felt into that one, and I said, I can see that, because so much, my memory is completely different now than it was before my experience of moving fully into the light. My memory is so much sharper. I remember things that I used to have to do sticky notes, and I used to have to leave myself messages, and on and on. And now I just remember more. And
uh-huh.
I realize that, oh my gosh, because when we align with our diamonds and we visually center, we have access to all that information to be in service to everyone around us. So for my patients or for my animals or for my family, anything, we have access to that. So if we
mm-hmm.
need to remember something, it's there. We just have it because we're in service and we're love, and that would bring love, and that's the way we want to be able to be in service. And I was, oh, my gosh, it's been amazing. So for anybody who is like me, can continue working on seeing how forgetfulness is passive-aggressive or part of the program, I celebrate your work, and I celebrate in saying how being visually centered and working on visual centering and the work with these messages makes such a difference, and that's already clearing. So that was what I recognized this morning, that that can really start eroding your relationships with people very fast.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
When, oh, I just forgot your birthday, or I forgot our dinner date, or I forgot to get that supplement ready for you, or anything like that. They just feel, oh, I'm just not thought of, I'm not cared for. And so anyway, that was my awareness this morning to share from Mother's messages. So thank you for letting me share.
That's very cool. Yes. And, oh, it's so relevant. That's part of it, isn't it? That's a big part
mm-hmm.
of it.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I didn't mean it.
Uh-huh. Exactly. Mm-hmm. Yes, so thank you. All right, let's see.
Cool.
I see somebody who's been holding for a while. You want to, let's start with 509 at the top.
I don't see that.
Okay.
Oh, yes, uh-huh. There's
right
one.
Me, okay.
There's one down below here that's been here even longer, the 910.
Oh, okay.
Let's start
all
with
right,
the
person. All right, go ahead and.
Yes.
Great.
All right.
We're open up 910, ending in 0379. Just give us your name and where you're calling from.
Hello. Yes. Hello.
Hi.
This is Randy from North Carolina. This is concerning your parasites.
Oh, yes. Hi, Andy.
Randy.
It's Randy. I had them in 2013, and there is hope you can get rid of them.
Oh,
first
yes.
Off, all right, you need to get you some NEEM, neem oil, and spray your yard with a garden sprayer. They don't kill them, but it's pest control, so they can't reproduce.
Well, and that sounds...
You got to spray everything in your house, especially if you have carpet, and your furniture has to be sprayed with it so they can't reproduce.
Oh,
well.
Well,
you need to give you some functional relief. I took food-grade hydrogen peroxide, borax, and Epsom salts, and you soak in that in the bathtub. That'll help you sleep and rest them. I had to burn my clothing off the beds, the comforter, and the pillows and stuff, and I replaced that. Then I got a cover for bed bugs and put over it after I'd sprayed it with neem oil. You need to go to the health store and get some wormwood combination, which has black walnut bark in it and about five different herbal, and take that every day. If you have black walnut trees in your yard and they're green, you can bust up the hull on them and rub it on you, but it won't wash off, but it will get rid of it.
Okay. Well, thank you, Randy. We're following our medical team, of course. And many of the things that you're describing are part of our protocol.
Okay.
So, yeah, those are all really good natural remedies that are very effective. So,
yes, it takes a little while to get done, but you have to wash everything that you have. And borax, and we use hydrogen peroxide. We don't use Clorox or anything chlorine.
Right.
If you go to a regular doctor, they're going to try to give you a hard chemical that's really, really dangerous to you.
That's right. There are many treatments available. I mentioned that we're using the protocol from Dr. Hulda Clark, which includes a lot of the things that you're describing. And
yes,
we've all...
Yes, she had the liver flushing and stuff. I did that years ago from her.
Yeah. So thank you, Randy. Do you have any comments or a story about how you're using Mother's work to change your own life?
Every day I do affirmations, which takes me about an hour and a half every day. I'm Arcturian. In 1974, I was shot and killed while I was in the military when I received my walk-ins. And I'm supposed to hold within me an entire Arcturian Healing Council, which I'll be sending a blast toward you in just a few minutes.
Well, that's very interesting.
You can look it up if you want to while you're channeling Sananda or any Arcturians. Mention Tota, and they'll let you know what's going on.
Yeah, my name is Zutlin, and I'm from Arcturian.
What did you say your name is?
T-O-T-A.
Your Arcturian name.
That's the Arcturian name. And my wife's Arcturian name is Zula.
Well, welcome to planet Earth.
That's right. I've been dealing with it a long time.
Tell Catherine she'll remember me because I put on my check, Unconditional Love.
That's right. You remember we sent you checks and stuff. Teresa
called her attention.
I've walking along the yard different times and things would just hit me like Christ. He conquered everything with love. There is no defense against it.
That's right.
2010 across the yard and I started laughing so hard I was rolling in the ground laughing. I couldn't stop laughing. Felt so much bliss inside. And it's been zoom, zoom, zoom ever since.
Oh, thank you, Randy. And
happy, happy, happy because we're ascending, ascending, ascending.
Oh,
great.
Love.
Thank you. You're right. There is no defeating love. You're absolutely right. And thank you for calling in.
Oh, we had a slideshow one night in a bedroom when we'd lay down doing a meditation, and all of a sudden it came on like a movie projection. And Lord, there was hundreds of people was meeting us, and now they're every night.
Tell them we could see their energy in our bedroom.
And now they're there every night. Your slideshow.
Every night. I even have people that's passed away that's coming to me to want me to tell their family to wake up.
Yes, we've had those visits for sure. Oh,
so
that's
exciting.
Lovely.
I just want more and more and more.
Looking at the New Jerusalem now, to us when we see it in the shape of a cross. We don't see it as a round star, it's in the shape of a cross.
Oh, my goodness.
That's the way we see it. And the ships are coming out down to us and blinking at us, and I can even see myself in the sky.
We've been hearing the Spirit in the Sky. That song plays here all the time. And they're telling us they're there. They're watching.
Another good thing to look up is Max Gerson, Heal Yourself with Food.
Oh, yeah.
Linda Gershon.
Yep.
It works.
I'm very familiar with Max Gerson. And we're doing the juicing routines.
Yep.
We're doing all of that.
She got Barrett's esophagus one time, so we did the Gerson thing. I found an Norwalk juicer, and now she don't have Barrett's esophagus anymore.
Good. Uh-huh. It cures.
She's had skin cancer. She's had Barrett's esophagus. She's had adrenal gland quit, but we've conquered it all with food.
And love.
We love it all the way.
And love, right?
Well,
thank you, dear friends, and your pillar of light in South Carolina. We're sending love. Oh, North Carolina.
Just think of Camp Lejeune. We're about 10 miles from.
10 miles from where?
Camp
Lejeune?
Camp Lejeune, down on the coast.
Okay. Well, include them in the pillar of light. They need it.
We do.
Okay, thank you.
I've been riding around and reading that thing out to 1,000 sons, out to the hospitals, the churches, to the bases, everywhere I can read it out to. I've been going traveling all over reading it.
Oh, wonderful. See, this is what Mother was talking about. Now
you know.
We see your pillar. So,
I'm trying
to
do everything I can.
Wonderful.
And
thank you.
We listen to you, Catherine. We really love you. We really do. I can't wait to meet you in person.
No, it'll be soon. We're all going to be greeting each other and celebrating. So thank you. Love to both of you.
Okay, you have a good night, and we're going to continue listening, and I'm going to put my hand down now.
Okay, thanks. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Oh, wow, isn't that fun?
Oh, my gosh. Wonderful.
Yeah, thank you for calling in. And let's go to 509. 3708 are the last four numbers. Okay,
hi,
you're on.
Just tell us your name and where you're calling from. Oh, I'm sorry to interrupt. Go ahead.
Oh, that's all right. This is Chris in Washington State. And hi, Meg. Hi, Catherine.
Hi, Chris.
Thrilled to be able to speak to you two.
Well, what would you like to tell us about?
Well, I had an interesting realization listening to the mother's message last night. And I've gotten to where I'm really anxiously looking forward to those emails coming in. And I was checking my phone last night to see if an email had come through before I went to bed, and it hadn't quite yet. And I was laying there, and there was a little blip in the power that made my phone kind of unplug and turn back on. And kind of woke me up a little bit, and I looked, and there was the message, and I thought it was just a little wake-up call so I could get that. I like to read it just as soon as it comes in. But I had a realization of a behavior that I do that Mother pointed out that I never would have picked up on as programming.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of a way to pass responsibility when I haven't done something I said I would do. I've found that I tell people before I tell them what I didn't do that I said I had, I'll say, so don't hate me, but,
uh-huh.
Don't be mad at me, but, and then I tell them, they say, oh, Chris, we're not mad at you, or I could never hate you. And what's happened,
mm-hmm.
and I never would have noticed, is I essentially evaded the responsibility.
Yeah, bravo, Chris. That's a huge one. Thanks for bringing that one out.
Yeah. And I don't know if it's just me, but I've heard this before of, you know, just lightheartedly kind of in a funny way. Promise you'll still be my best friend, but I didn't do this. Of course I'm your best friend. That's okay. yeah, it's a more subtle behavior. And I was happy she called that out. I can start paying attention to it.
Bravo. I think you're going to find, once you've unwrapped that one, that it's more important than you thought. So you just pulled it right out of the bag and looked straight at it, and you're going to be free in a new way. Because you did that.
Yeah, I'm interested to see, you know, moving forward. I'm guessing I'm going to have the temptation to say something like that, or I'll have that initial impulse, and I can nip it in the bud.
Wonderful. Oh, I love that. Now we have a really good example of how it's done. So you're not beating yourself up. You're not, you know, beating your chest. You're just looking at it, and that's exactly what Mother was talking about. You presented that with such grace, so thank you.
Thank you, and if I could just make one comment.
Sure.
These messages have been so wonderful. I grew up, you know, very religious and whatnot, and I found what I was always thirsting for was just a simple, loving relationship with, you know, heaven.
Mm-hmm.
And these messages are come across, you know, they appear simple, but there's just this familiarity there that I feel with my own mother, and it makes it so easy to relate, and it's so incredibly satisfying after a lifetime of searching for that relationship, and here it comes, and it's so familiar and real and enjoyable and lighthearted. I love it.
Oh, yes. I love it too. Yeah, thanks, Chris. That you really expressed it so nicely. Here it comes, this feeling you just always wanted and never knew was there. Right.
Yeah, and it doesn't have to be very esoteric and difficult. It's warm and pleasant, and I am very grateful. So thank you both for all your hard work, and I'm forwarding these emails on to everyone I can, and, you know, it's amazing.
Right.
The people that I think might think it's a little bit weird are totally excited. I'm just amazed how people are so ready and open for this kind of interaction with Mother and Father. So thanks so much.
Oh, thank you, and thanks for the good news. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, we'll move on. Thank you, Chris. Wow, isn't that lovely? That's so much how I've felt about these messages. It's just so wonderful and feels so close. Like Mother's right there holding our hand. Okay. Meg, I see someone from 804 that's been here quite a while.
Very good. Let's open that one up. And the last four digits are 2693. Oh.
Oh, I got it.
804-2693. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Hello.
Hi.
Yeah, this is Jimmy in Richmond, Virginia.
Hi, Jimmy.
How are y'all doing tonight?
We're good. What have you got for us tonight?
The perceptions that I've been... You made that statement a couple of weeks ago that was pretty profound, where you said the whole earth has become the crystal, temple. And that's made a big difference, knowing that you don't have to go anywhere, that you're actually already there. So it's kind of just a different way of looking at everything and seeing everything and just really communicating with your higher self in a lot more easier fashion with doing it like that. And I realized that just yesterday in meditation that my mom, my dad, my whole family is like up on the ship, waiting for me. Where they've gone up, yeah, they're all up there.
Right.
But just some very, very neat things coming out.
Everything getting closer. Everything feeling more in unity.
Do y'all have any word or do you have any feeling on the RV?
Oh, yeah, it's imminent.
Kind of. been holding on for this, and I was just wondering that is that pretty much pretty imminent, pretty close to now?
Mm-hmm. If you listen to Tony, he's really the only one you need to listen to about this, because he is just so tuned in.
I was on the call today, and they're saying it's like real close as far as what he's saying. So.
And he's aware of a lot of the things that are going on behind the scenes. Talk about boots on the ground. I mean, he's been with so many people that have just been working so hard for such a long time. And you could hear it in his voice today, too. He is tired. But he has carried on for years now. And he really knows what's going on. So people who really want to know the nitty-gritty about what's going on need to listen to Tony.
Yeah,
I'm sure there's a...
Years. Yeah, I've been plugged into that big time. He's, like you said, about the only one I listen to, because seems to, with his information, his sources and all, seems to be, plugged in. We just wondered, from a galactic standpoint, behind the scenes, because there's got to be other things going on that we're not seeing, that, this new system going in over the other one.
That's the thing. It was going to roll out one thing here and the next thing later, but the way things are moving, it's going to be possible for us to have just enormous changes in a very fast, one after another. Things are really already moving. And it's the same as, like Mother was saying, we can't see each other. We can't really know all these people who have done such amazing work behind the scenes.
Yeah.
And it's all going to just shoot out together, we're going to see the fireworks all across the earth at the same time, and all these things are going to happen that we had no idea were in play.
That was so funny earlier when you said we're the only ones that don't know what's going on.
Right.
That's the whole omniverse watching, and we don't have a clue. I mean, oh my God, it's almost like funny, but.
Yeah.
My buddy and I were talking earlier today about how we're going to wake the masses of the people up. That I don't know, was it correct when we heard that the disclosure would take 50 years to disclose all the stuff to the people?
Oh.
I thought, oh my God, I said I won't be here obviously 50 years from now.
Yes, we'll be.
Well, I guess so, as long as we I can get in that healing chamber.
Right. Right. If
Absolutely.
You know, if that's part of your deal to come back and be here, sure. Why not?
Why not?
I think they're not saying it's going to take everybody 50 years. It's just that it's 50 years worth of information to
all
tap into.
People like in religion and all. Oh my God, what it would take for them to for all of this to unfold. Mm. I mean,
we're each going to do our part of that. So it's going to be enormous and profound for everybody right away when this starts to unfold.
I just want my dancing shoes.
Right.
I just want to be able to dance here, you know.
Well, we'll see you in the streets.
That's right.
With the music playing.
There goes Jimmy.
Right.
Oh,
I can't wait to see that.
Yeah,
thanks,
fun.
Paul and Jimmy.
A big celebration somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Everywhere.
Tony and them talk about Vegas. We all need to get together too, where a lot of us can. A lot of the light workers, I think, would like to get together.
That's on our radar.
So you're thinking of doing
something. All the light workers are going to be able to meet each other.
Yeah. Once we get the finances, we can go anywhere. Let's go to Hawaii.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
I had a dream a couple months ago that a real close friend of mine was a wealthy landowner in Hawaii and owned a resort and said, you can come stay free anytime you want. And I had that dream a couple months ago, so I said, come on, let's go.
Oh, that sounds good to us.
Yeah. Aloha.
Aloha. Okay. Aloha, Jimmy. Thanks for calling.
Y'all have a good one.
All right. So long.
Bye.
Love hearing from him. Oh, that's fun. Okay, Jimmy, if you'll press 1, we'll reorganize our panel here. Okay. There are people who've been here a long time. Here's 5-2. I think that's the next one.
Excellent. So 562 ending in 7291. Hello.
Hello, it's Cindy from Long Beach.
Hi, Cindy.
I'm the one that sent you that email about feeling cozy when Mother talks to us.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I always find it introvert. I have a really important question, and I don't know who can answer this, but I discovered JFK wrote an executive order 11110 that would free us from the Federal Reserve and return our ability to print our own money and put silver into the U.S. Treasury, return our constitutional rights to us, and give us back America. And in effect, it would eliminate the Federal Reserve, you know, the cabal.
Mm-hmm.
We'd be out of their clutches. Well, I discovered on a website called Political Bellcraft that this executive order he wrote and enacted was never repealed. And I have repeatedly emailed the White House asking President Obama, please enforce this executive order. We can take back our country right now. We can mine silver and put it into the U.S. Treasury and generate our own currency and literally eliminate the Federal Reserve Central Bank. And I need to know, is this going to come to pass? Or is this something
Absolutely.
That's just...
Yes. Of course it is.
Well,
very.
He's dragging his feet because it's in force. I mean, it hasn't been repealed.
Right. Well, there are a lot of things that are in force and haven't been repealed. NASARA is one of them.
So my being persistent with this, I guess I'm just a sideliner. It's something he's known about, but he just has to
Anything. It's all going to happen. I mean, the Federal Reserve Charter has already expired, and it has not been. And it hasn't been renewed.
This other man was mentioning the RV, and I read somewhere that the Vatican owns most of the property in the world and has most of the money. So is the Vatican going to divest and distribute all of its money to the people?
Well, if you listen to, if you really listen closely to what the Pope has said, one of the first things he said when he took office was, this is going to be a poor church for the poor people. Well, how do you think the Vatican's going to get poor? He's going to return all the money.
So we're looking at divesting.
Yeah.
A lot of people are talking about 2016 or maybe even this September. Is that your fear for imminent, or are we looking at something later than that?
No. There are a lot of people who say a lot of things.
Oh.
And I don't even bother to track down all these websites and all these so-called gurus who are saying this and saying that. Tony is the expert. And there's no point in listening to 100 other people who are saying all kinds of other stuff. We don't need to hear that. Feel the wind.
Feels like it's around the corner. That sounds like around the corner to me.
That's right.
Thing, Mother and Father God will not allow scalars to ever be used on this planet again. And yet I'm horrified by the poisons that Monsanto and Dow are coming out with that are worse than what they already have. And we've already all been exposed to the poisons. Aren't they in a position to just get rid of the poison? Because that's
we are in a position.
Huh?
We are in a position to get rid of the poisons. As soon as people don't buy them, they won't be sold. It's very simple. We don't need for Mother and Father to get rid of it. We need to stop it.
Well, the United Nations
and we can do that.
And announced that you don't need GMOs to feed the world. So there is a tide that's turning in that regard.
Yes. Countries all over the world are making these things illegal. It's really, you know, Mother described us, we're the only ones who don't know what's happening. It's happening all over the world. These toxins and poisons are being made illegal. GMO crops are being banned. We're the only ones who don't.
Right.
Oh, so we need to. We can change it.
Well, I'm really concerned about the TPP because if that goes through, GMO labeling will totally disappear.
Now, Cindy.
Yeah?
Cindy.
Yeah.
Take a breath.
Take a breath.
Right. We're not here to talk about the doomsday that's inevitable. We're here to take charge and play our part to make sure these things don't happen so that we don't have to predict them.
Well,
so we're not predicting that all bad things are going to come. They're not. So when you start to talk that way, you are creating it.
Well,
so the
I
way
like
we,
Facebook a lot.
This is what Mother's been teaching us.
Uh-huh.
The way you describe our future is the way you create it. So start thinking about how you're going to do your part to stop these things and how you're going to raise your vibration and how we are going to put an end to all this stuff and picture it. Picture it.
Well, that's why I was emailing Barack to try to get him to enact the executive order that would free us from the cabal.
Alone. He needs the support of all of us. So make up, you know, they have that on, what's the name of that website, where you can create your own...
Petition?
Yep.
I did write a petition for him to enact Executive Order 11110.
Great. Then send it around. Send me a copy. I'll send it on. Yeah.
Oh, okay, I'm there.
Okay, great. Good.
Thank you, Catherine. Thank you.
All right.
Okay.
I'll look forward to seeing your petition.
I love you.
Oh, thank you, Cindy. We love you,
I
too.
Okay, I'll
all right.
Thank you.
Okay. Well, there's... Cindy just slipped into the old programming. So grab hold of it, Cindy. Take it on. Don't let it take hold. So that was a good example of how you really have to listen and watch and be very vigilant about how you approach these things. Yes, it's important that we know that difficult things are happening in the world, but we also know that we're the ones who are going to stop it. So we're going to take one more call. There's someone who's been holding a long time, and we'll just make this a quick one. So 701, let's do that one, Meg.
Good.
And this will be our last
okay,
call.
Good. And ends in 7527. Hello.
Hi, 701, you're on the air. Oh.
Okay, I was on mute.
Oh.
Yeah, I'm North,
hi.
I'm North Dakota.
North
yeah.
Dakota?
And I used
and what's your name?
Hawaii. Linda.
Linda, hi, Linda.
Yeah, hi. I just wanted to express that this is what I do when I'm listening to your calls.
Mm-hmm.
I've got my own flowers and everything, garden, self-made. I pull out weeds when I'm listening to your call, you know, rather like a parable, yeah?
Oh, that's good. Well, it's earlier
yeah.
there, obviously, because it's nighttime here. We couldn't be out weeding while we're talking, but yeah, I know what you mean.
yeah, the sun's not down yet. Yeah, I keep going and going. And yeah, that's peace.
Mm.
Working out in the garden without working too hard. Yeah, so that's what I wanted to share with everybody. Pull out your
weeds. That's your parable. Thank
a lot.
You.
It's just juice.
Thanks, Linda.
Yeah.
Is that?
And I guess I'm the pillar for the oil field too. You know that.
Oh.
And people have to realize that it's a good thing that the price of oil went down because it has impacted. You know, this is the Bakken field. The
where you are in North
Dakota? I'm in the center of North Dakota right now. I'm not directly in the oil field, but I'm in the center.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I don't always feel like the pillar of light, but I hear. Yeah.
Oh,
so.
Well, keep raising your vibration and put yourself right smack in the middle of your pillar of light, and you will feel like it.
Yeah.
There.
But yeah, sometimes you get tripped up by the programming.
That's,
yeah.
And that's
anyway,
what we're working.
I appreciate you so much, and I think I know you.
Ha-ha. Yeah, that's a good feeling, isn't it?
Yeah. So,
in
that was it.
Somewhere in our history, we all know each other.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, or as Christine has said, you know, sometimes
yeah.
There's really only six of us.
Yeah. But I get it. I get what most people call in highly diversified
mm-hmm.
and truth seeker. From way back
yeah.
and Hold the Clark. Oh, yeah. That was like 25 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
The book. The Cure
mm-hmm.
for All Cancers and the Rifin. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And if you see something on TV where, the monster's within us, oh, man, that makes your skin crawl.
Well, I'm living it right now. So, yeah.
I went through it. I went, not the rice, but the wormwood, green walnut and echinacea and something else, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're going to do it all. Pumpkin seeds.
Yeah, I've got to update again.
We're doing it all.
Okay. I just
thanks for calling, Linda.
Yeah. Okay, love you. And later.
Yeah, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
That's fun. All right, let's see. I think Meg just hung up by mistake when she was trying to hang up Linda's line or her call dropped. Okay, Meg.
Yes, my call dropped under my tin roof, but I'm here. Thanks.
Okay, hi. All right, so that's you, Meg?
Uh-huh, I'm here.
Okay, there you are. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, that was really fun. It's fun talking to people and getting their, hearing about their adventures and their thoughts on all of this. You've noticed, haven't you, how callers are so with it and in line and working hard. I mean, even when there's when people talk about how they've slipped recently, it's just with a different kind of tone where everybody seems to be just pulling, you know? Everybody's pulling their...
Oh, yes.
And it's really great to hear. We love hearing from all of you. It really feels good when we can connect directly. So thank you all for your feedback, for your calls, for your love. We're so happy to be doing this. So I think it's time. And I'll choose a different song for our ending. One of my old favorites from the Beatles. And we will be here next week, same time. And we're going to look forward
to... Thank you, Catherine.
Yes, thank you, Meg.
Mm-hmm. Thanks, everybody, for coming.
We're going to look forward to more messages this week. Can't wait to see what Mother has to say next.
Indeed.
All right. Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Good night, Meg.
Good night. Good night, Catherine, Christine, Jade, all sweet animals. Good night.
Good night, everyone.